Welcome to Seeing Your Inner Brilliance, the space where driven women can come together, be real and raw with each other, and take a step toward being internally aligned with our big, audacious, world-changing desires. Woo! Oh my goodness, and y'all, this episode we're about to dive into is fire! It's one that needs very little introduction because it's something we have all wrestled with at some point. Whether you're currently wrestling or working through it, or you have emotional scars from a particular hard season of trying to love and accept the body you're in. Yes, that is what we're going to talk about today. This is one of the topics that unites all women, no matter how successful we are, how high our income is, how many people we've impacted, or how much we love our family. Look at Oprah, for instance. And our special guest today is curvy body advocate, author, and mom of two, Andrea. I'm going to tell you right now, if you have thought today, ugh, I can't stand my thighs, or gosh, she is so much prettier than I am, then grab your earbuds and tune in. This episode is so real, so raw, and so high vibe. This is a next level conversation that will help you get to your next level, because loving ourselves, body included, is a portal that we have to cross in order to get to the amazing life we desire. I am so, so excited you're here. I am so, so excited for you to listen to this conversation. And before we dive into this potent and powerful conversation, there are a few super exciting ways to come play in my world. If you are feeling the pull to solidify your identity and who you are and who you want to be. Ah! All right. So the first thing is Be That Girl. This is a super special program where the goal is to wake up and be the girl who has the results, because so often we try to get where we want to go by taking steps, one debilitating thought, one insecurity at a time, and it can feel so hard, heavy, and murky. So Be That Girl is a way to transcend all of that BS and start from a fresh slate, so to speak. This powerful 6-week journey is where you embody your future self now, so that you can see that your vision is possible and you are worthy of it. And the vibe we are tapping into is living in a way of feeling your next level of success now, believing that it's possible for you and that you can do it, and showing up from this deepened confidence, assuredness, and solidity. Ah! Oh my goodness, I'm so, so excited. I absolutely love Be That Girl because it's a way for us to become the woman we want to be without having to necessarily do the heavy work, the deep work, so to speak. We can be that girl now and do that deep work at some point later on when we are ready. And speaking of that deep work, yes, I have a space just for you if you are ready to do that brave work of diving deep, unraveling, and unpowering disempowering beliefs about yourself. Maybe you feel like you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you don't know enough people. Whatever it is, this is the space. Unstoppable. Doors are open right now and we are starting a new round. This is where you unlock your inherent power and rock it into a whole new state of confidence and freedom within yourself. We go deep, we go fast, and we aim for total liberation, all right? This is a 12-week journey of stripping away lies, conditioning, expectations, and internalizations. So if you are tired of the BS holding you back, holding you down, oh, girl, it is time to internally become unstoppable. Yes, 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 you can find both of those links in my episode description. But without further ado, let's dive into talking about body confidence. And I absolutely love Andrea's wisdom, her energy, everything that she has, because she is no stranger to this and she is just absolutely amazing. All right, so let's get into it.
My goodness, Andrea, welcome to Seeing Your Inner Brilliance. I am so excited to be talking to you today. And I love you. I love your work. You are so into body confidence, but not from the sense of like just a general body confidence. You're very much about embracing your kind of beautiful and what that looks like for you. And you were very open about when you were younger, you grew up seeing these traditional kind of views of what beauty is. And I know that has significantly impacted your work, your mission, your calling in life. And just thank you so much for being here and sharing your light with us.
Oh, I'm so honored to be here. And thank you for humbling me so much. My goodness. Yeah, you are very right. A lot of the work that I do really is driven by, I mean, with a lot of us, right? Like how we show up in our present day is really dictated by the things that we have been through. And so how I show up for my family, how I show up for myself, how I show up for my clients and everybody who's a part of my community really is driven by the experiences that I've had. And so I'm so called to share that like literally every single day.
Oh my gosh, we're not even 2 minutes in and that was so good. That was so good. Something you just said, I already forgot verbatim what you said, but something about how we're showing up and we're living based on like our experiences and the things that have molded us. A lot of times when we pick apart at our body, for me, my particular thing has been acne. I struggled with acne pretty much my entire life. I have scars to prove it. Scars of honor, that is. But how do you take those things of whatever it is about our body? How do we take those things and really view them from and embrace them?
Oh my gosh, that is such a loaded question. I think So I'm going to two-part answer that question. First of all, I want to acknowledge that, and the same is true for me as it is for everybody else. Every single person on this planet, I will say more women in particular, are on some sort of journey with their body and how their body shows up in the world and how much space they decide they want to take up, whether it's like physically or like metaphorically, right? Like how much space are you taking up? And I think that every single person that we come across struggles with how much space they feel like they should or should not be taking up. And that is as a result of either the way we look or the way we feel about ourselves or the way we see ourselves in like this ideal standard of beauty. So everybody struggles. And I am I don't have it all figured out. I still have days where I struggle. And on those days where I do struggle with my body image, I think back to like the years and years of work that I've done that have got me to this place. So it doesn't always come easy for me. But so the two-part answer to this question, I'm going to go back to like just the world and the society that I grew up in. So I am a 1980s baby. And so that means that I grew up in the 90s and the early 2000s. And the way that the body industry or the ideal standard of beauty, I use that a lot. The industry is very different now than it was when I was growing up. So I think you and I talked about this a little bit before before we got onto recording, but I am not like your traditional ideal standard of beauty. Like I'm not a Victoria's Secret model, okay? Oh my gosh. So I am very, very tall. I am living in a bigger body. And so growing up, I was always taller than all of my friends. I was always bigger than all of my friends. And so that really impacted my self-esteem. It really impacted how my confidence, it really impacted a lot of things. And it kind of was something that I carried through my childhood up into my adulthood until I really started to like unpack all of these narratives that I had about myself that actually really didn't belong to me, right? Like all of the negative things that we think about ourselves, typically, yes, they occur in our head, but they belong to somebody else who's like pushed that onto us at some point in our life, whether we're aware of it or not. And so I took what I've kind of gone through and unpacked, and I continue to share like how I've unpacked that today and how I show up, you know, as the Andrea today in 2023.
Oh my goodness. That was so beautifully articulated. And as you were talking about how we are wearing things from other people, their opinions from society, and just what the right standard of beauty is, those types of things. I got this vision of a coat and how we just continue to put on coats and coats and coats. Maybe we watched our mom stand in the mirror, you know what I mean? And kind of pick apart at her cellulite or something like that. Maybe we picked up these different things. Maybe for me, like one of my ex-boyfriends, he made a comment one time about my butt and said that it was saggy. And I was like 20 years old, you know, and it deeply stayed with me. And so, but yeah, all of those are coats, they're coats, they're coats, they're coats. So at some point, let's take them off, 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 and get down to this seeing ourselves for who we really are. It's like seeing our outer brilliance, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But in order to do that, we have to see our inner brilliance and who we are inside. Oh, it's so beautiful. And something else you said really, I actually started tearing up. I don't know if you could tell, but when you were talking about how you still face these issues from time to time, mm-hmm. you know, it's not, you're not somebody who comes from a place of like, I have figured it all out.
Actually, I have to share with you this very, very recent experience that happened to me. So I'm 6 months postpartum. For anybody who doesn't follow me on Instagram, I have two children and I just had a daughter 6 months ago. And so, of course, I'm navigating like my postpartum body, right? And so I'm very, again, because I've done the work, I'm very aware of my thoughts. And it's so interesting because we have so many thoughts in a day. All of them, most of them are like really subconscious. And then we can choose to like believe them or not believe them, right? So, and when these negative thoughts come forward for me about my body, I'm like, that's interesting. Like, that's not true, etc. But I went to Le Vion Rose recently to buy some new bras because, of course, my body has changed. And so I don't really enjoy like, you know, bra straps digging into my sides when I'm trying to wear them and like spilling out of the top. Like, that's not really that comfortable. And I'm also nursing right now. So, of course, there's that too. So I go to Le Vion Rose, I get a couple bras. I was really pumped that they carried nursing bras, total aside. And then I thought, oh, while I'm there, like I might just look into like some of the more fun like items that they have there. So I grabbed a few things to try on, like these really cute pajama set, like lacy pajama set and that sort of thing. And I grabbed an XXL and I said, you know what? This XXL has to fit. Like, it's going to fit. So I grabbed it, like in a great mood, took it into the change room because I just had a really positive bra shopping experience. I took these little like pajamas into the change room, tried them on. Well, they didn't fit. And immediately I was like, oh, like, of course they don't fit. I can't even fit into an XXL in the store. That's my first thought. But then my second thought was like, hold on, Andrea, like you just had a baby recently and, you know, it could... We know if you're a woman and you've ever been shopping that the sizing in stores is like, you could be a medium here and an XL here and an extra small here, right? Like, it's all over the place. And so in that moment, I was like, oh, this is like a shot to my ego. And then I had two choices, right? As we all do, I could just let it roll off my back, or I could say to myself, well, I have to start a diet tomorrow. You know, I need to start moving my body more. I need to go like do all of the things because I need to lose weight because, you know, this anyway, I could have spiraled, but because I've done so much work, I was like, no, I'm just going to let this roll off and I'm going to continue to move forward. But I still continue to have those experiences regularly where I'm like, I have to take a step back and navigate that inner dialogue that I have about my body.
Thank you so much for mentioning that story. And I want to give you a hug over this computer because I have, you know, I have felt the same way. And it's not about the size. It's about the internalizations, you know, mm-hmm. of what you were going to make it mean about you. And because you do this work, you can let it roll off of you, and at least from my experience, the forks in the road of the choices that we get to make, they're a little bit clear, right? But earlier on in my journey, oh my gosh, it may have taken me 3 days or a month before I was able to roll that thought, so to speak, off of my back. And so from your perspective and the work you do with your clients, what does that mean to let it roll off? Like, what are some practical things? How do you get there?
Oh my gosh. Well, I think there's a lot of like small steps that you can take to get there. And I mean, we don't have time to go into all of those things. I go into a lot of those things in my book, but I think that ultimately, and yes, I'm making an author joke because I am an author, but I really find this to be actually really valuable, is that like, we are the author of our own stories. And so if there is something that you're carrying, a thought, a narrative, a feeling, whatever it is, if you don't like that narrative, if you don't like the story, then you can just write a new one, right? You can just throw out the old manuscript, whatever is on that manuscript, again, the thought, etc., and you can just rewrite a new one. And reframing yourself in that moment, you know, allowing, going back to your question, like being in a position where you have the opportunity or the ability rather to let that thought roll off, you have to repeatedly be doing those sorts of things to get good at it. And so, you know, I started from a place of not even considering the fact that I don't have to succumb into that spiral of negative self-talk, right? Like that wasn't even an option for me at one point in time. And if you're going to ask me what that, like how I started that journey, I actually don't even know. One of the driving forces for me, I will say, was after I had my first daughter. So previous to having had Clara, that's her name. Now when I say it again, everybody will know who Clara is. But before I had Clara, I was on a weight loss journey. I reached a certain weight on the scale and I saw the number and I call it a rock bottom moment in my book where I was like, oh my gosh, I've never seen this high of a number on the scale. And I felt awful about myself. I was dating my now husband at the time. And, you know, I thought things like what business does he have being with someone like me? How could he even find me attractive, beautiful? Like, I'm not worthy of being in a relationship with somebody who looks like that because I look like this and this is how much I weigh, etc. So then I went on what a lot of people do is like, I'm going to join a fitness program and I'm going to eat chicken and broccoli every day. And I did that for months and months and months. And I did in fact lose 50 pounds and I was celebrated for that, right? Because in our society, we celebrate people for weight loss. And all that does is reaffirm, like, I wasn't as worthy then as I am now, right? People are noticing. And I still carried a lot of the same feelings about myself unless I was validated by somebody else about the fact that I lost those 50 pounds. So then I got pregnant with Clara. And unfortunately, my first thought when I saw the positive pregnancy test, other than being excited, was, oh my gosh, I'm going to undo all of the hard work that I just did to get looking this way. Now I'm going to look like that again. And then I went through the pregnancy and I did gain, I think, like 70 pounds during the pregnancy or something like that. And then after I had her, I was like, okay, I'm going to get my pre-baby body back, right? As the messaging that we're sold, like get back into those pre-baby jeans or get rid of the mom bod, whatever it is. And then I started to understand I like having a daughter and having her grow up and being that role model. And so once I realized, like, I'm a role model for her of how she's going to view her body, how she's going to see herself, how she's going to talk to herself. She has my genetics. So you know, science says that she's likely going to grow up with a body that looks similar to mine, or she'll be tall at least. Like, let me tell you, she's 7 and she often gets called 10 years old because she's so tall. And that's one of the hangups that I had, was that like, I was always taller than all my friends. Like I said earlier, I didn't want to wear the heels because I didn't want to be the giant who was also really big. Anyway, so all of these narratives that I had about myself, if I wasn't careful, she was going to have them too. And I really didn't want that for her. So I spent a lot of conscious time almost faking my own self-confidence with my body. But because of that repetition, like I said earlier, what started to happen was that I started to believe it. And I started to like do things naturally that were more on the side of self-compassion and self-acceptance, as opposed to like, you know, hating myself and wanting to change. So like now I still eat really well. I still move my body regularly, but it's really not attached to like weight loss, for example, or looking a certain way, right? There's so many other whys now for maintaining my health and wellness that go far beyond the scale. Because let me tell you, today I am very close to actually beyond that rock bottom number that was at the beginning of my weight loss journey. And I have a completely, completely different mindset around that number than as today.
Oh my goodness. I feel like I could listen to you just talk and share your story. And there is so much goodness. So I hope for those listeners, like if you haven't already, grab a pen and paper or start a note section in your phone and just write down the words and the phrases that Andrea is using that are resonating and speaking to you, because that means there's something there. You know what I mean? Thank you so much for going into that. And I really applaud you and acknowledge you for the shift that you have made, the taking care of your body, you know, losing the weight if you want to, all of those things. It moved from a place of like force and I need to do this in order to be worthy, from what it sounded like, to now I do it from a place of love and acceptance and compassion. And that is so, you might get the same results. Hey, you're getting better results.
Yeah. It's so interesting because like for so long, I would say probably like for the last, like since I've really dove into like coaching and shifting this like wellness perspective for myself, I actually didn't allow myself, and I don't know if it's because I actually don't even know the reason, but I just recently made this discovery. I'm actually going to, I shared about it in the introduction of Body Bliss 2, that's going to be coming out in the spring. But I was actually nervous to even say like I wanted to lose weight now in like my current mindset, because a lot of us associate this need to lose weight with like, I need to lose weight because I hate myself and I hate myself. And so I want to lose weight. But for me, like I am in a position. Yeah, I would absolutely like to lose weight. And I'm actually on a journey to do that. However, the reasons that I'm doing it are so far, like there's not even one shred of hatred that I feel for myself attached to that goal of weight loss. For me now, it's like, I know that I can spin better. Like I can spin so much better when I'm lighter, right? My body's able to do more things that I want to do. Typically, like my body, as does everybody's body, like everybody's body functions when you're eating wholesome, rich, like nutrient dense foods. And typically a side effect from that is losing weight. And again, like when this weight loss comes, and even if it doesn't, even if I continue to stay the same weight, but all of these other things change and shift and I'm able to show up better, like it's not about the number specifically for me, right? What I'm trying to say essentially is that, you know, the number on the scale doesn't necessarily have to determine your worth, like we were saying earlier. And if you are feeling like you need to lose weight, I say this often to clients as well. If you're feeling like you need to lose weight, it's okay to have that goal, but let's also explore the reasons why you want to lose weight. And when you start to unpack that, is it attached to, I want to be happier, I want to feel better about myself, I want to be more confident, or is it attached to just wanting to function more optimally, like, et cetera? I mean, some people's doctors tell them they need to lose weight because it, you know, it's for health reasons or whatever it is. So if you feel like you want to lose weight, explore some of the reasons of why that really is. And are you wanting that for you? Or do you feel like, again, going back to those narratives and those ideal standards of beauty, like, do you want that for you? Or do you think that somebody else wants that for you?
So good. So good. And that I can see that in my own life. So it's not only applying to like weight loss and a scale. For me, that looked like I wanted to tone down the flab on my arms and, you know, just tone up in certain areas. So I joined a fitness program that has you working out, like they want you to work out like 6 days a week for an hour and do HIIT and do cardio, which, for me at least. And I was trying, but it wasn't fun. Each day going into my gym, working out, like I had to really talk myself into it. I felt good after I was done. But the next day I was like so sore to the point where I couldn't move and it was affecting how I was showing up, you know, and whether or not I even did anything that day, you know what I mean? And so then getting to the point where you said, you know, explore why was I doing this? Admittedly, I was doing it because I felt like I needed to be this, you know, chiseled, you know, I don't know, mom, or I don't even know where that idea came from. But that's the thing, right?
It's so ingrained in us.
Yes, yes, yes. And so after admitting to myself, like, I don't like this. I don't enjoy this. And so now I've completely shifted gears and gotten in touch with my why. And my why is because I want to be 95 or 100 years old. I want to be one of those old ladies with long, super long gray hair and able to do all these different yoga poses. And like, that is my why. I know it's silly, it's crazy, but.
Well, the why is so important because I talk a lot with people about like, oh, how do you stay like motivated and how do you like stay consistent with all of your workouts and with all of your meals and like, you know, how do you stay motivated? And the reality is that motivation is fleeting. Right? There are some days where you are more motivated than others. And if your sole motivation is like, I want to lose weight, that's not going to carry you very far. Because the reality is like we ebb and we flow in terms of what our expectations are. Basically, what I'm trying to say is that, you know, I used to be somebody who, let's say I was following some sort of program and you were supposed to work out 5 days a week, you know, Monday to Friday, you work out and then Saturday, Sunday are rest days. And then you start back over on Monday and you can't miss a Monday and you have to do it Thursday and Friday. Well, what if Friday, I really don't feel like moving my body? What if I had a really hard day? What if it was really long? What if I had something come up and I wasn't able to get to that workout or whatever it is? Then you go to bed on Friday night feeling like you failed. You feel really guilty because it's like, well, I was supposed to work out today and I didn't. Well, who told you that you were supposed to work out? And who decided that you're not also allowed to like have these ebbs and flows? But often we get into this black and white mentality of like, well, if I'm not following it, then I'm failing. And if I'm, you know, I may as well just forget everything, like forget the program, like light the house on fire, forget it, right? But if you're trying to build like a sustainable lifestyle and you're trying to build like these long-term or these like long habits of maintaining your wellness, then you also need to acknowledge that you are going to have those seasons and you are going to have those ebbs and flows. And those are actually okay. They're part of the journey. You won't always be motivated. And sometimes you should still kick yourself in the butt to do it anyway, because maybe you will feel better after, but also acknowledging that maybe you actually won't. Once I adopted that mindset, there were so many workouts, Chelsea, I can't tell you that I was like, oh, I need to do this workout. And I started and I'm like, because typically for me, if I just get there or if I just go through the warm up, my previous co-host for my show always said, like, she would always tell clients, she was a personal trainer, just come and do the warm up. And if we do the warm up and you don't want to continue the workout, then that's cool. We'll take it away. Like we'll step back and we'll move on and we'll forget it for today. But typically once you get through that warm up, then you're like, okay, I can finish the rest of the workout, like no problem. So that's what I would typically do. But I have many times been like, I just can't do this. And I'll turn, you know, the workout video off, or I'll turn around and go back home or whatever it is. And then I'll say to myself, like, that's okay. I think that we need, and I caution always around saying, like, telling people you need to do this. But I think that the biggest need is that we need to give ourselves more grace. We need to show ourselves more compassion, right? We talk a lot of smack. I don't know if I can swear on this show.
Yes, be yourself. Be yourself, baby girl.
A lot of shit to ourselves that we would not dare ever say to our closest friend. Right? Never, never would we say the things to our dearest friend that we say to ourselves. So why do we do that? Why can't we show ourselves more grace and more compassion? So that's the need. You need to show yourself more grace if you can't, if you're having an off day, and you need to show yourself more compassion for the ebbs and the flows and the fluidity of the motivation that is certain to come.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. That is total fire.
I'm speaking your language, I know.
Because when you allow the ebbs and the flows in life, when you allow yourself to be human and knowing that you most likely are not going to feel the same way every Monday, every Friday, every this, that you are human and things are going to come up, when you allow yourself to have those ebbs and flows, then you make room for self-acceptance, self-compassion, and grace. But when we don't allow ourselves, when we have this such a perfection, you have to hit 100% all the time, this strictness about it, then there's no room to practice giving yourself grace. There's no room to build that muscle. You just don't even allow yourself to get there.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, allowing yourself grace, giving yourself compassion, speaks to the whole mindset component of, like, health and wellness. Because, and even I was guilty of this myself, right? When I think about, like, oh, I'm going to take better, you know, New Year's, everyone always has, like, the New Year's resolution of, oh, I'm going to get healthier this year. And people automatically think, okay, I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to, like I said earlier, the chicken and the broccoli, that's always my example. Cause it's like, everyone's like, ugh, you know, I'm going to eat more chicken and broccoli and I'm going to work out 7 days a week. And that's going to make me healthier. There is so much more that's tied to your health than what you eat and how you move your body, right? Mindset, I would argue, actually is just as important as those two things. Of course, they all need to be working together, right? It's like the best salad ever. You need all of the ingredients in it. But mindset is so important because when we're thinking about how we manage our stress, right? When we're thinking about the people that we choose to spend time with, right? If you're spending your time with people that make you feel like crap, then that's just going to, you're a product of the five people that you spend the most time with, right? How you speak to yourself, how you show up as a, in all the different roles that you hold, right? How much you feel like is on your plate, how connected you feel to the world around you, how much you lean into religion or spirituality or faith, whatever it is, like all of these things also include your health more than the chicken and the broccoli and the CrossFit. But oftentimes we forget about that. So we'll do the menu and the movement, but we forget to think about these other things that we've been talking about in terms of self-acceptance, compassion, grace, all of it.
Oh, Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned that. You are so spot on. And it also very much ties in this wheel of balance that you talk about and that you absolutely love and preach. So if you will, like, what is the wheel of balance? What is that?
Yeah. So I actually have a two-part episode on the podcast quite a while ago. It's in some of my earlier episodes where listeners can actually walk through this exercise. But essentially, in a very quick nutshell, it kind of is what I was just saying. Like, we have all these different components that make up who we are as a person. And when we feel off balance, it's typically because we are lacking in pouring into one of these eight areas. So they include some of the things that I mentioned: stress management, relationships and communication, rest, movement, nutrition, etc. And so I feel like if we are feeling out of balance, or for me, for example, you know, one of the tools that I use is this. I'm like, okay, if I feel off, usually my first thing is like, if I feel off, have I had enough water to drink today? I always, cause I'm always like struggling with drinking water, but I'm like, if I'm feeling off, well, have I moved my body today? It's like almost like a mental checklist of like, okay, let's go around the wheel. Let's see where I'm at with all of these areas. And then when you're like, oh, I would rate this area a 2, it's probably because you haven't spent enough time focusing on that area. Maybe you're rating something else a 10 and you're rating something a 2. So you need to figure out how you can pour into that 2 area a little bit, you know, to bring it up to a 3 to help, again, reinstate that balance or that like homeostasis in your life.
So beautiful. And by the way, your podcast, I want to tell everybody, is the Balance of Bliss podcast, correct? And yes, then you've also mentioned, you've referred to a couple of your books. So you have, you can actually do this is one of your books. And then you have Body Bliss volume 1, and you're about to come out with a volume 2. What else? Like, what else, Andrea? What else?
Here's the thing. I am so when I was in college, I had, like, you had to create like a professional email, right? Like a Gmail. So I signed up for a Gmail account that was not like my teenager email address. It was like Libra Chick or something like that. I needed like a professional email. And so I created an email, and it gave you an opportunity, like an option to make an email signature. And I was like, what am I going to put as my email signature? And it ended up being a quote. I love quotes. Quotes are like my favorite thing. In my book, actually, every chapter starts with a quote. But I put the quote, "Be the change you want to see in the world." It's one of my favorite quotes by Gandhi. Everybody knows that quote, I feel like. And that is like what I strive to do. I strive to be the change that I want to see in people and how they show up in their day to day, helping them to understand all of the things that I've started to learn throughout my journey. You know, my first book, as you mentioned, You Actually Can Do This. I wanted people to understand and know that they could achieve a healthy lifestyle in spite of themselves, because we are typically the ones that hold ourselves back. With Body Bliss, I just had this idea of like, again, if I want to create change for people. And if I can change, then other people can change. It's not easy, but when we have the support, we can do that. And so I thought, how cool would it be to have a book that it's similar to like Chicken Soup for the Soul. If you remember those books, I read all of them like when I was younger, but every chapter was a small story. And so in the Body Bliss book, volume 1, and then volume 2, that's going to be coming out later in the spring, it's just everyday women who have navigated their body in some sort of way, not always related to weight as well. So it could be related to, you know, battling perfectionism. There's an author in the first book who is Latina, and she's talking about how, what it was like growing up in a predominantly white community, you know, navigating trauma as it relates to your body and all of these other different types of experiences that people have related to their body to create this feeling of connectedness. And in addition to that, every single author who has been in each of these books has had an opportunity to work through what their body stories were, what their internal dialogues were, just to kind of wrap up what we were talking about earlier with a nice little bow. They've been able to work through in writing the chapter. It was very cathartic for them. They healed as they wrote the chapter that is hopefully going to heal other people. And so we had 15 women in the first book. We have 9 women in the second book. And it's just a beautiful opportunity for me to continue to allow people to be impacted, to create a better life for themselves, as it, again, relates to this thing that is our body that carries us every single day, right? Our bodies show up for us every single day. We don't ask it to. It just does. And we talk shit about it. Like I said earlier, we feed it with things that are like slowly killing us. You know, we do all of these things. We stay up really late. We scroll on our phones and like all this stuff. I do all of these things, by the way. I'm not like a martyr or anything. But again, it's just like acknowledging, like, we have this one body that shows up for us every day. And we have to speak kindly to it and treat it well. And so I like to spread that message and all, like you said, the books, the podcast, the coaching that I do, like all of it, it's all to be the change that I want to see in the world.
So eloquent. So I love how I'm getting tears in my eyes, if you can tell, I'm a crier, but how be the change, you know, when you were creating your quote unquote adult email, which it's funny you said that. My AIM screen name was Baby Girl 201.
Yeah, like, why did we do these things? Like, Libra chick. What's up? I'm Libra chick. You know, I'm baby girl. What a like way sexy to go. 69. Like, I like, why did we do these things? And then like, no one's going to take me seriously. This is why I had to be like, Andrea was my email.
I love how you just completely made the 180 shift to be the change you wish to see.
To be fair, I'm super into like horoscopes now and like spirituality and I totally like ring true to my Libra, but I don't need it in my email, you know?
Oh my gosh, I absolutely love that. And then to go even deeper, like, you are the epitome. You are doing that and you have tapped into your calling and you are walking in your calling. And so, you know, your books, your podcasts, your Instagram, your coaching, which I wanted to touch on briefly, everything that you're doing, you're just exuding this. You're living it in your lifestyle. This is a total embodiment, a total, I actually was talking about this earlier today that I don't know where my journey started as far as my work. Like, I don't know when my business started because I feel like my life has been leading up to this. You know what I mean? And that's when we don't know. And I'm sure the same is for you, which is why I'm bringing it up. You know what I mean? That it's like, it's just exuding from us and everything. It's it and everything that we do, everything that we touch, every person that we help. It's just, how can I become more? How can I help more? And you're just such a beautiful person, such a beautiful person.
I often, first of all, thank you. I really appreciate that. I have people often say to me, like, how do you do it all? Like, you have 2 children and a new baby. And like, I was recruiting for the second book while I was pregnant, knowing that like we would have our kickoff call when I had a 2-month-old. And I'm still putting out podcasts every week. And, you know, I'm taking on clients and I'm doing the interviews at night. And I'm like, I'm always doing stuff. And people are like, how do you do it all? Like, how do you have all of the energy to do that? And it's because this work truly lights me up. Like, hardwired to create impact and to make people's lives better. Like, I used to be a social worker before I did this. Like, I worked in mental health. I worked frontline all the time. I worked in crisis. Like, I was always helping. And that's still what I do now. And so helping others, impacting others in a positive way is like, it fuels me. Like, that makes me the Energizer Bunny to just do it forever, because it's work that I love to do and I will do it forever. I'm going to just keep writing books, and I actually would love to do a Body Bliss Volume 3. So if you want to share your story in a Body Bliss, those people who are listening, you know, follow me on Instagram and keep an eye out for that, because it's such a healing experience for people. I can't not continue to do it, because if I can be the vessel to create that space, you know, I hear people talk about like, I can hold the space for you. I can be the container, like however you see it. Like, if I can keep doing that for people, it would be doing the world a disservice to not keep doing that for people.
I 1,000% agree. 1,000%. And it's true alignment. It's true calling. And I felt compelled to kind of zero in on that and what you said, because I also know that there are women listening who, you know, they're not there. They don't get it. They're on the way there. You know, they're in the process. Like, you know what I mean? But it's so, so important that we tap in. And I believe that grace and compassion and acceptance very much falls into that.
Yeah.
It very much plays a part.
Sorry to cut you off.
You're fine.
It's the internet. Like, it always gets like so weird when you're like, you think someone's done and then there's like about to talk and you're like, oh shoot, I'm sorry. But just what you said, really, it was like the perfect segue to what I was hoping to do on this episode as we were going to wrap up. But I wanted to just read like a quick blurb from my book that I thought would really land with people. And it's, again, talking about like what I want for people listening, for the world. So I'm going to do that if that's okay with you.
Yes.
So, are you listening, everybody? Okay, good. They probably still are. So I want so much success for you. I want you to have and be everything you want to have and be, because it is time for you to have it. It's time for you to stop sacrificing your health and your desires. It's time for you to take action and start making steps towards your end goal, whatever that may be. The time for excuses is over, because now, after having read the book, of course, you have a toolkit that is going to help to propel you forward and keep you motivated on the right track. You are going to do this. And like I said, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to own it. You have to own it all. Your past, right? Who you were, your present, and your future. Don't shame the person that you were before you started this process. Don't shame the woman who has not been successful before. Embrace her as part of your journey. Thank her for getting you to this moment right now. And own every version of yourself that you have been, because they are all beautiful. And once you take that ownership and that power back and don't let anyone else have it, you will see the control you feel and have to become the woman that I know you are. And trust the process. Trust the universe and know that everything you desire will come to you when it is supposed to. You just need to be open to it. It may not come to you in the time frame that you're hoping for, but the universe, creator, whoever, has a bigger plan for you, and it will give you what you can handle in time and will wait on your wishes for when you are ready.
I feel like I could very much use a moment to myself to like process and just feel. That was so beautiful, and what a divine... a divine way to end our conversation. I thank you for your time. I thank you for your light. I thank you for your being, for the past woman, for the child inside of you who had to endure the shoulds and the pressure and feeling like she was not. I acknowledge you for the work that you've done and just being who you are. You're amazing.
Thank you. I'm honestly healing her and what she's been through this work. So.
Oh, so good. So good. And I will post links to Andrea's books, to her Instagram. She has a new coaching program coming out called Holistic Body Connection. If you feel called to check that out, I'll include all of those in the episode description. Andrea, before we go, do you just want to say anything about Holistic Body Connection really quick?
Yeah, so it's actually a program that I have had for a while, but the reason that it's like new, and I'm using air quotes that nobody can see except for me and you, because I have been running it for a couple years, and I obviously haven't been running it. It's the one thing I haven't been doing since I had Eloise, but I'm hoping to bring it back, but I'm actually going to grow it and enhance it and actually like expand on some of the modules that are in there. So, you know, some of the things that we talk about in that program, it's an 8-week program and we kind of do work every single week. But we talk about like nutrition, we talk about movement, we talk about habit building and gratitude and mindset. And we talk about your why, like a lot of the things that we touched on today, we really take a deep dive into those and we do one-on-one coaching and all those sorts of things. So I'm hoping in the next couple of months to really focus in on that and expand on it so that I can bring people into it. Everybody who I coach, I feel like it's just such an honor for them to share their resources with me, both financially, but also in their time. And I don't take that lightly. So I want to make sure that what I deliver and give is like going to create this massive impact and change for you. I am simply the guide. Of course, everybody who invests has to do the work. But it's, you know, the program makes it really easy to want to do the work. So, yeah.
Amazing. Just another amazing way to work with you. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you so much. Absolutely.
With tears in my eyes from Andrea's beautiful quote about embracing the journey, trusting the process, us getting everything that we want in life and all of our wildest desires, no matter how wild they may seem, and really just trusting ourselves and having grace and loving who we are. Whew. And in essence, that is what this episode is all about, because no matter the success and the levels and the promotions, you know, that we reach, even the impact, as great and wholehearted and full of service that it is, if we don't love ourselves, what is it worth? What is it worth? You know what I mean? And so I really pray, no matter what you are reaching for in this life, no matter what your desires are, that this conversation inspires you to get back to the root of it. And that is you. That is your wholeness, your worth, and your body is very, very much included in that. I love to think about our body in the form of a present, the wrapping paper, and inside of it is the actual present. And that's our soul. That's our worth. That's our inner brilliance and our essence, our identity and who we are. And so our body is very much the birthday bag or the wrapping paper, the box that it's holding, our soul, our essence. Oh, and from that place, hopefully we can develop so much gratitude for it and all that it allows us to do and be each and every day. So let's use this conversation to get back to the core of who we are, the core that we walk around in every single day and that allows us to do the things that we want to do in this world. So if you would like to connect with Andrea, which I definitely encourage you to, even to look into Holistic Body Confidence, her program, as well as her books. Oh my goodness, I could just keep going and going and going, and her podcast. That's like us that's the epitome of ambitious women, right? We just have layer after layer after layer of things that we're doing and we're working on. So I'll include all of those links in the episode description, as well as you can find the links to Be That Girl and Unstoppable. Basically, I just listed out a whole bunch of things, but really, they are indicators of letting you know of just how supported you are, how accepted you are for who you are, everything that you're feeling, everything that you're thinking, everything you're being in this moment, and the continuation of the amazing woman that you are. You are so supported. So check out those links in the episode description of just resources and tools to help you expand into that next level version of who you are. So thank you so much for tuning in today. I pray you enjoyed this conversation. And yeah, I'll see you next time.